morning. I'll be going to Ephesians chapter 5 to have our last session here. I'll talk to you this morning on the five inspirations concerning genuine spirituality. Just got to take a moment from my perspective and say thank you. And we said so many thank yous, but I'm sure thankful for Brother Harold and his family and the heart they have for these conferences. I've had the privilege of being in the student prayer advance, the men's prayer advance, and now the ladies. And I highly recommend you consider all of those. Send your kids to the student prayer advance. It's a phenomenal meeting for teenagers. Last year, I took my sons with me to the student prayer advance, and it was life-changing for them. We do this often. Brother Harold, we go to church a lot. We're in the presence of God often. But the student prayer advance would be one of the top five places where I know my kids have met with the Lord. And that's the truth. My sons, I texted my wife in one of the services, and I said, this is wow. I said, I think your son is about to put his hands in the air. Because he was singing, the presence of God was so real in one of those services where the kids literally didn't know anybody was around them. There was no peer pressure. They were just absolutely in the presence of God. And it was amazing. And don't you be bothered that people raised their hands. It's kind of biblical. So we are told to do it. And it's even okay to clap. The Bible says clap your hands unto the Lord. I know sometimes we get so bothered by people that do things differently than we do. But those are biblical. And I love all the music here. Thank you, Brother Harold. Thank you, Miss Debbie. And thank you guys just for being our friends and treating our family so kindly. We had the wonderful accommodations and just the friendship. I would come to this for the friendship. And it's just an honor, honor, honor to preach. So thank you, ladies. If you weren't here, we couldn't have it. So thank you for taking the time to get a babysitter for your husband. And for your children. And thank you for taking care of the meals. You had to cover those while you were gone. And it's just, I know there's a lot gone into your being here. And we're grateful because you were in the right place. The Lord has sure worked in your heart. I got to tell you, I was a little nervous when Brother Harold asked me to come preach at a ladies' prayer advance. And I thought, are you serious? And I thought, am I going to be the only guy in this room full of ladies? And what if they don't like me? Are they going to stone me? I was extremely nervous. In fact, I remembered a story I heard years ago. John Rice, you remember that name, John R. Rice? John R. Rice had a ladies' conference and spoke at the ladies' conference, and somebody told me the story that in the ladies' conference, the last service, he said, now ladies, I want to pray. He was known for praying and getting his prayers answered. He said, I want to pray a prayer of blessing on you. He said, if you would like for me to pray a prayer of blessing on you, stand to your feet. And ladies all over that room stood, several thousands of them. I think there was like 2,000 people, and most of them stood for Dr. Rice to pray a blessing. And the person that was there told me that in his prayer, he said, now, Lord, bless all these ladies who are standing, and may all of them have babies by this time next year. And our friend that was there said, ladies were sitting down all over that bed. Don't want that blessing, amen. So I thought, is that not the strangest thing to pray? I'd like to get to heaven and find out what happened, you know. Did the Lord answer those prayers? How many babies are there going to be? You know, I was here because of that prayer. I don't know. I thought maybe I should try that and see what happens. But the Lord didn't put that in my heart. So the men's prayer bands, the student prayer bands, the ladies' prayer bands are special places to meet with God. God to work in our heart. Encourage your husband to be a part of it. God met with us, with the men here. This auditorium is incredible. Just incredible how God met with us. And at the student prayer advance. And this, next year I saw, how do you say his last name? Ed, is it just Moore? Moore, just like it looks? And he spoke at our men's prayer advance, first time I've ever heard him. It was phenomenal. The message was amazing. And I've used even what I learned from him in even counseling sessions with other men. And you'll enjoy it. Come back, let the Lord use you. And it's going to be great. Well, are you ready to go home? But we have to, don't we? And I want to give you five inspirations to take home with. Five inspirations. See what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to have five passages that are written specifically for ladies. That's where I'm going to go. And I'm just going to, we're going to be brief, but just, they're meant to inspire you. Sometimes we go to the Word of God and we find it, okay. But God gave us His Word to inspire us, to encourage us. His way is best. Do you believe that? His way is best. So if He says something in His Word, it must be the best way. Brings His greatest favor and joy. I collect quotes. You know, Brother Harold does that. And I was looking up inspirational quotes, and I found these. During the day, one said, during the day, I don't believe in ghosts, but at night in church buildings, I'm more open-minded. You ever been in a church building late at night? One of the scariest places you'll ever go. One said, a day without sunshine is like, you know, night. This one was quite inspirational. If you try to fail and succeed, which one have you done? Even if you're on the right track, you'll give it over if you just sit there. This one I thought I'd give to my children. Never put off until tomorrow what you could do the day after tomorrow. And a couple more here. Follow your passion, one inspirational quote said. Follow your passion, stay true to yourself. Never follow someone else's path unless you're in the woods and you're lost and you see a path. Then by all means, you should follow that. This one probably gets a little too close to home for some of us. The trick to succeeding at friendship is not to let people know how weird you are until it's too late for them to back out. For you that are single, stop waiting for Prince Charming. Get up and find him. The poor idiot may be stuck in a tree or something. What in the world? Who came up with that one? We got a lot of friends that are very health conscious. They're very health conscious. So this is the last inspirational quote. This one I just thought, this one's great. If you're health conscious, this one is great. Remember that celery is 95% water and 100% non-pizza. Inspirational quotes, you know, you find them everywhere. You find them everywhere. But the best place to find inspiration for your life is in the Bible. For our beginning thought process is look at Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he said, chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore he said, awake! That's a good Saturday morning verse for a women's conference. Wake up, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. I have a man on my staff, Evangelist Mike himself, who preaches from these verses, a sermon on walking circumspectly. I have an older evangelist friend, Glenn Jaspers, who commented on this verse one time. See then that you walk circumspectly. And he said, walking circumspectly is like walking through a barnyard. You have to be very careful where you step. Now, that's kind of a down-home way to say it. My friend, Evangelist Bill Rice, would say walking circumspectly is keeping your head above the water, being alert, know what's going on in your life and around you and what you should be doing as a result. My friend, Evangelist Mike himself says walk circumspectly is important because in verse 15, fools will fall. When you and I are foolish, we're not wise, it damages us. Fools will fall. Verse 16, time will fly, redeeming the time. How many of you are aware of the fact that time flies? My word, it's amazing. People used to say to us when we had children, you better enjoy them. When our kids were small, better enjoy them. Better enjoy them. They grow up so fast. And at that part of our life, we were thinking, not fast enough. Diapers and diaper bags and messy food and I'm a boy, we're at the other end now, and it's the truth. Wow. What in the world? Time just flies. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Evil will fight. And his outline is good. Fools fall. Time flies. Evil fights. But the wise will flourish.
Wherefore, be not unwise. Don't be unwise. Know what the will of God is and be filled with the Spirit so you can do it. Ladies, you're leaving the prayer bands. We've been in the presence of God, and this is sweet, and this is wonderful. But you're going to get on a bus or a van and get in a car, and you're going to go back home to real life, if we could say it that way. You know what you need? You need wisdom. You need God's power in your life, because God wants you to go home and be everything He's been talking to you about, and you can't do it on your own. You'll never be saved long enough to do it on your own. But the Spirit of God is able to take the Word of God and start work in your life of growing you, maturing you, and leading you and guiding you so that you can become everything God wants you to be and do everything God's called you to do. You have a great God. So walk circumspectly, be filled with the Spirit, live a life of wisdom. Take these inspirations home with you. Five inspirations just for ladies. And the first one is this. Embrace submission. Now, we could use that as negative, couldn't we? Oh, my word, submission's in the Bible, for crying out loud. This is 2018. But if it's true that God's way is the best, then Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 23 and 24, and you can turn if you want, but I put the verses on the screen just to help us move along. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So here's my challenge to you. Inspiration number one, embrace submission. Don't look at it as a negative thing. Remember, God's will is best. God's plan is always best. And God's plan for you and your marriage includes the word submission. It's two words, you know, put together. Sub, meaning under. Under, submarine is underwater. Sub, under, mission, the goal, the leadership of another. And all of you ladies, with your husband, God says, be under His mission. Follow, look to Him. I like to define submission as the opposite of a rebellion, if you will. If you're doing sign language to the deaf, the word for rebellion is a fist pulled back. Pull back. Oftentimes, rebellion is evidenced in a leaning away. Do you know what I mean by that? You ever seen a rebellious teenager? Here's a rebellious. Rebellious teenagers are like this. They lean back. You see a teacher at school getting onto a rebellious teenager, and here's what the rebellious teenager will do. They lean away. Submission is the exact opposite of that. Submission is leaning toward. So one of the things God's called you to do is to lean towards your husband. To lean His way. Embrace that as a good thing in your life. You say, yeah, but you don't know the jerk I married. I know. And maybe if I knew him, I wouldn't like him either. But he is the man you married. Lean His way. Embrace that. Embrace it. Lean His way. How far do you go with it? I don't know. Go as far as you can. Like my wife, my sweet wife, God bless her, she leans my way in so many areas. Startles me sometimes how far she leans my way. Like my friends, I love chocolate chip cookies without walnuts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Chocolate chip cookies with walnuts are not chocolate chip cookies. That's biblically true. Not biblically true, but it is true. Because chocolate chip cookies with walnuts are chocolate chip cookies with walnuts. That's a different cookie than a chocolate chip cookie. Isn't it? So my wife likes walnuts, but I don't like walnuts. Did you know in 25 years of our marriage, almost 25, my wife has never one time made chocolate chip cookies with walnuts. Because she leans my way. And my wife, she loves to bake me stuff. I'm trying to be healthy and lose weight. She's trying to kill me. She cooks me stuff all the time. She's always baking me stuff. And I'm obligated to eat it. Plus, it's good. We were first married. I could eat a lot more than I eat now. I have to be careful now. I'm at that age where I have to be careful what I eat. But when we were first married, we had a little apartment in Ohio, and we're getting started in evangelism. And I went running one night. I'd worked out. I was jogging. I came back in, and my wife had made chocolate chip cookies
And see there, you got it. And they were fresh. I mean, you know what they are when they're fresh. You know that aroma, where you smell the aroma? Did you know when you just, when they're so fresh, they just kind of melt in your mouth? They don't even count as food. They just, and the calories don't matter. And so I came in from running, and I had that, you know, I'm hungry because I've just burned all these calories. And I walked into our, I got on the porch to our apartment. I smelled the cookies. And I was just, you know, I was just the Spirit of God was leading me. And I stepped in the kitchen. My wife was back getting ready to go to something. I don't know, a ladies' meeting or something. And I walked in, and they're on this counter. We had a small apartment, but between the kitchen room, there was this little counter. And they were lined up on the counter. And I'm not even making this up. This is the absolute truth. I ate every one of them. I'm telling you. I ate. My wife came out. I was like, what happened to my cookies? I don't know. Somebody must have ran in here. I don't know. I did. I ate them all. I ate every. If I did that now, I'd die. I mean, I don't want. I can't believe it. I just ate. They were good. I just. No, sir, they just smelled. Praise God! What a wonderful wife the Lord has given to me. And I was just waving. I went into the ladies' prayer bench. I was waving my hands. I just praise God. Now here's the Bible word: submission. Embrace it. It's your man. Look his way. Lean his way. My wife will sometimes say to me, she'll say, honey, I know what to do. What do I do about the kids? This is happening. What do I do? What do I do? She asks me. And then she even does this thing. She waits for me to decide. It's part of leaning my way. Because sometimes I don't know. I have to think about it. I don't know. Can't kill that kid. That wouldn't be right. But how am I going to correct this? So I have to think about it. But my wife looks to me. We have a friend in Florida, and her husband was in the military. She told us one day, she said he'd be deployed, and I was home with our daughters, three of them. And he's 8,000 miles away. And she said, I found that was a very difficult thing, because while he was gone, I could take over and run the house and do it my way, and then he'd come home and take over, and it would drive me nuts. So she said, what I learned to do was, while he's 8,000 miles away, I leaned his way. I'd write down things. I don't want to do about this. I'd write things down, and we'd talk on our time, our scheduled talk times. And I'd say, okay, I got some questions I need to ask you. This is what's happening in our daughter's life. How do you want me to handle that? This is what's happening in my life. How do you want me to handle that? And this is going on in the church. How much do you want me to give to this? He's 8,000 miles away for 18 months, but she's leaning his way. And ladies, I want to challenge you. According to these verses, God gave you the husband you have. And he's to be the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. And the Bible says there in that last verse on your screen, right there it is, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is it a positive thing or a negative thing when a church is subject to Christ? The Bible puts that in there to let you know that submission is not a negative thing, no matter how much our world makes fun of it. You ever seen that bumper sticker that says, submissive women never change the world? Oh, really? You know when a person puts that on their car, what they don't know? History. They don't know history. Because women that have had a submissive, godly kind of spirit have dramatically changed the world for centuries. For centuries. Embrace it. My inspiration to you as you leave today is go home to that man of yours and embrace the submission that God's got. Just embrace it. Say, isn't this great? I don't have to stand before God and give an account for my kids. Honey, you do. Isn't this great? I don't have to carry that weight. You do. I'm following you, honey. I'm following you. When I get to heaven and the Lord asks me about it, I'm going to say, he told me to, Lord. See, we can joke about that, but God intends that to be a positive to you. A blessing in your life. And it's not that you just sit around, okay, I don't have any opinion. Come on, we all know better than that. We know you have opinions. And in a happy marriage, a husband who's leading is looking at his wife's opinions. I'm the guy that I see the single picture. Here's what we're gonna do. And I'll share it with my wife, and she'll say, have you thought about this and this and this and this and this? No, I didn't think about that. But I better. Because the details, see, that they work together. It's not that your husband, God didn't call your husband to be a lord. The reason God tells your husband to love you in his leadership is because, number one, when he's a loving leader, he's not a dictator.
God is tempering his leadership so that he doesn't turn into some kind of redneck. Hey, woman! That won't get you submission. That will get you eternity. And so he's to love because that tempers his leadership. But God also told him to love. And I say this gently, stay with me. God told your husband to love you as he leads because you have to submit to him. That's why he's supposed to love as he leads you. Because part of your calling from God is that you have... I say to men, if I was preaching to men, I say to men, would you want to follow me? Sir, would you want to follow you? Good heavens, no. You wouldn't want to follow you. You'd be like, don't follow me. I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. But your wife has to. So you're to love. But ladies, as certainly as your husband is to have a loving leadership, God's called you to follow his leadership. Embrace it. Inspiration number one. Embrace submission. Can I give you a second one? Here's a second inspiration. Embrace real value. Embrace real value. Now here's a couple of verses that you're going to love. These are just for women, just for ladies. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. It's on your screen. Let's look at it together. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they, the husband, behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now look at this one. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Read the last sentence out loud, the last phrase, which is in the sight of God of great price. Misspelling there. In the sight of God of great price. Embrace real value. There's something in these verses that in God's sight is priceless. You ever seen that MasterCard, is it, or Visa commercial? Such and such, X amount of dollars. Such and such, X amount of dollars. And what's the last one? Price. In the sight of God, there's a real value in this verse just for ladies. And it's in that last verse. Let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, some people go so far in that verse there on the top of your screen, and they'll say, see there, women should not do their hair and wear jewelry. But you can't say that, because if you say that, you have to take the last phrase too. And it says you shouldn't wear clothes. I mean, it does. So apparently it's not wrong to do your hair, and it's not wrong to wear jewelry. It's just that you can't be known for that. He's saying to the church, don't let your identity in life be the fact that, well, I'm just telling you right now, look how I dress, and look how I do my hair, and look at me, because there's something more valuable than all of that. And that's what's going on the inside. And the verse is in the context, literally, of a husband that's not doing well. And a husband's not doing everything he's supposed to do. And God says, here's the only thing I know to tell you to do for a husband that's not doing what he's supposed to do. He says, first of all, you win him without the word. You can't preach to him. You can't say, let me tell you, sir, you need to go to the men's prayer events and learn how to be a godly husband. Can't do that. Got to be quiet. I tell men, it's interesting that in Ephesians 5, when a husband is leading his wife in his home, his wife, his children, the Bible gives the illustration that he's supposed to be like Jesus, who leads us with the word. So how do I know, Jesus, what you want me to do? Well, here's what Jesus did. He gave us the word. So I say to men, you know what, men, you're supposed to do as a leader? Use words. How many of you know that a lot of times we men fail in that area? A lot of men, that man, I don't know what he wants. Because a lot of men never use words. What does the Bible say here that a lady's supposed to do? She's supposed to influence her husband without the word. Now, there's a spiritual truth there. You don't preach at it. But I think there's also a practical truth. If your husband were here, I'd say to your husband, sir, you need to talk. You need to lead. You need to know the way and use words to help your wife and family to go the right way. You use words in leadership. But the Bible in this verse says, ladies, here's how you follow your husband. You temper your words. Notice how easy it is in our fallen nature to get that backwards. What does the average man do? He clams up, doesn't talk. Now say this gently, okay?
What do sometimes you do as ladies? You say too much. Because you're about, you got to get it all out. You know what Beth and I discovered in our marriage? That if I use the words by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, remember to be Spirit-filled, and she tempers hers, it allows me to lead and her to follow. Ladies, you've got to be careful about your words. That's the first thing he says in the passage. Be careful. Don't overdo it. Don't preach at him. Don't beat your husband to death with your words. That's what he's trying to say. And then he says, you know what? He said, don't even focus on the plaiting of the hair. It's not wrong to do that, because I'm glad he put that last phrase in there. Otherwise, we might think, don't you do your hair, don't you wear jewelry. But he says, don't focus on that. Don't make your whole identification that your hair's a certain way and you wear gold a certain way and the jewelry. He says, instead, focus on a meek and wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Meek is really the word gentle. A gentle spirit, and the word quiet is unbothered. Now, how many ladies would say, that's a tough one? Unbothered. Unbothered. Because what do you do when the kids are driving you crazy? You get bothered. But the Bible says one of the most valuable things you could have in life is to be gentle and unbothered. 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 All's well in the home. All's well with me. I'm unbothered. Can I go back to a Southwest airline story from the other night? He's a jerk. He was just rude to his wife in front of an entire plane full of people. But she was unbothered. She had something that was valuable in the sight of God. Just what I'm saying to you, ladies. Number one, embrace submission. Don't think of it as a negative thing. Think of it as, you know what, this will make my marriage better. And Lord, this will even help my husband to be the leader. One of the ways you show respect is leaning his way. Okay, honey, what do you want? I told you this is simple. I told you about my wife getting up on Sunday morning early to make meals on Sunday morning so that I can eat at home when I'm home. And it's one of the things I love to do, and our family's fallen in love with that. And my wife leans my way. That's simple. She leans my way. She looks to me. My wife will go shopping. My wife loves to shop. Our truck gets 5 miles to the gallon. And Beth loves to shop. She just loves it. One of her favorite things to do is go shopping. And she loves it. She loves it. She loves it. And she'll go shopping, and she's very thrifty. My wife is crazy thrifty. She loves thrift stores, and she's always going. We even shop sometimes at have you been to the GW Fashions? Have you been to one of those? Those are incredible stores. Goodwill, some people call them. And sounds a lot more spiritual to say GW Fashions, okay? And so my wife will shop. You know what? My wife will sometimes call me or text me, and she'll say, hey, honey. She'll text me, and she'll say, I found a pair of shoes, and they're really nice. You think it'd be okay if I get them? How much are they? And this always cracks me up. I was like, oh, yeah, they're $10. I suppose we could swing that. But isn't that a silly little thing? Why is my wife so aware of that? Because here's what she knows. She knows that we have two kids in college that we're trying out. We told our kids, if you'll do right, live for God, go to a college that we approve. We gave a whole list. You go to one of these, we won't even question it. We'll just help you. We want you to work, because work is honoring to God. But we'll help you. And she knows that we're trying to be careful about finances so we can help two kids in college. Because we love them. We're for them. So she leans my way, even in the finances. Well, ladies, this is a positive one as well. Embrace real value. It doesn't mean you just sit around and never have an opinion. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means you're unbothered. You know, I don't report this husband of mine, it's driving me nuts. No, you're all's well. That's great. All's well. See, here's why this is important. Because it not only affects your marriage, it affects you. When you have a meek and quiet spirit, it affects you because all of a sudden all is well in your life. All's well. Kids don't bother me. House doesn't bother me. Laundry doesn't bother me. The dishes, they don't bother me. Cooking 3 meals a day doesn't bother me. This is great. All's well. Say, Brother Young, that's not possible. I know. That's why I started with this verse. Be not drunk with wine or success, but be filled with the Spirit. Ladies, when you have the Spirit of God in your life, the Spirit of God is the only one that can help you to be unbothered and gentle in all of your responses. So embrace submission. Y'all with me on that one?
All right, here's the second one. Embrace real value. Here's the third one. Embrace modesty. It's a Bible passage for ladies. Have you read it? Just two verses, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also the Bible says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works. But with good works, which becometh women professing godliness, which is us, right? Aren't you women professors and following Jesus? He says, here's how God wants you to be known, not for what you wear or what you don't wear, but for your godliness in good works. In the context of 1 Timothy chapter 2, the context is amazing because in the context he talks about prayer and the fact that God wants the whole world to be saved. He says, pray for everybody. Pray for your president. Pray for the kings. Pray for the leaders. Pray for everybody because God wants everybody to be saved. That's what he says in the text. Pray for everybody because God wants everybody to be saved. And then he says to men, what I want you to do is I want you to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The picture literally looks like this. Won't you men, because I want the world to be saved, I want you to show people that you're a Christian and that you're real everywhere you go and pray. I want you to lift up holy hands. Identify yourself as a Christian by the way you pray. Put your hands up when you pray, man. Put your hands up so the world knows, oh my word, he's praying. There's a holy man. There's a holy man. And he's praying to the God that wants the whole world to be saved. The context is prayer and the gospel. So men are to pray with their hands up, holy hands, to draw attention to the fact, I'm a holy man of God. I believe in Bible. I believe in prayer. I believe in the gospel. I want souls to be saved. Then he says, in like manner also, because of prayer and because God wants the world to be saved. He says, ladies, adorn yourself wisely. Adorn yourself wisely so that when the world looks at you, they're not misled. They're not led to unbelief. They can see Jesus in the way you dress. They can see the importance of prayer and the gospel. Have you ever thought of modesty as like that? It's not a negative thing. It's to be embraced because it promotes the gospel and prayer. That's the context of the chapter. And he says, ladies, he said, adorn yourself in modest apparel. And the word literally, the Greek language has two ideas. It does include the way we dress, but it also includes our deportment, the way we behave. So I'm to be modest as a lady, the Bible is saying in this passage. You're to be modest as a lady, not just in the way you dress, but even in the way you behave. And as you're dressing in the behavior, he says, shamefacedness and sobriety. Modesty literally means order. The idea is on purpose. I'm dressing in a specific, on purpose way. I'm conducting my life in a specific, on purpose way because I believe in God and that he answers prayer and I believe in the gospel and I want God to use my life to help people to see Jesus so I can point them to Jesus and pray for them and they'll be saved. Do you see what he's trying to say? And he says, do it with shamefacedness. In other words, it's okay to be aware that, man, I probably shouldn't wear that. Because that would embarrass my Savior. That wouldn't be helpful to Christianity. And he says, do it with sobriety, which simply means thinking. Here's what I tell my daughters. Nothing I've taught my daughters this. When you dress, you just think. So you go to the store and you're going to buy a new outfit. And what you do is you think. Put this on. Is it pleasing to God? Just think. God is long enough so that it's not displeasing to you? Is it loose enough so that it doesn't draw attention to me inappropriately and make me look like something that maybe I'm not? Or is it high enough that it's pleasing to you? Is it full, loose? I even say to our daughter, because we're Christians, we don't want to, you know, dress slinky and sexy. And it's not wrong with looking beautiful. I tell my daughter, I want you to be beautiful. God's okay with you looking beautiful. God's okay with that. But I also have to embrace modesty if you're a lady because the Bible says that. He wants me to embrace that so that the world can see my good works and not be distracted away from my good works. That's the point of that passage. But not known by dressing immodestly or having an immodest lifestyle. My behavior is drawing attention away. I'm focused on hair, gold, and pearls, and costly array. Christians ought not to live that way. In other words, he's even saying, don't spend too much on clothing. Be modest. Why? Because there's a world that needs the gospel. Don't go overboard and spend all your money on stuff that doesn't matter, because the world needs the gospel, and as a godly lady, you're to focus on good works. Embrace modesty. That's a verse just for you. And don't be scared of that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. Embrace modesty in your behavior, in your dress, and focus on good works. Is this making sense? Aren't these great verses? These are inspirational verses. They help you to be everything God wants you to be. So ask the Spirit of God to help you embrace submission and embrace it happily. Man, I get to do that. That's how God's called me to do it. In a world that is so messed up, we are children of God, and we're going to embrace submission. And we're going to embrace real value, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. We're going to embrace modesty, and we'll be dressed, and we'll be behaved. We're going to focus on good works, and we're not going to be inappropriate in how we dress. Can I make a statement and not be offensive? I don't want to be offensive. I want to make a statement. We're a generation that loves liberty. Liberty, liberty, Christian liberty. But I want to say gently, when our girls are dressing immodestly, that's no longer Christian liberty. That's disobedience. Is that okay? It's true. So help your daughters and help yourself. Two more. I like this one. Embrace motherhood. Now, that's a weird thing to say, but he says it in the text, in a verse written just for ladies. In fact, it's in our text. You ever read these verses? They're weird. They're really odd verses. The Bible says to these ladies, Timothy, he said, tell the ladies to learn in silence with all subjection. Not going to permit a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first form, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And he said all of that to say this: notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, that is the ladies, continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What in the world does that mean? And here's what I've decided it means. I've studied it, I've evaluated, I've examined it. And apparently what the Bible is saying in this passage is, ladies, it is entirely okay to embrace motherhood. It's one of your gifts from God that you get to be a mama. Apparently that's what he's saying. Apparently in the church where Timothy was ministering, apparently in the church there were people who were saying to the ladies, oh my word, you can't do this in our culture, you can't do this in our culture, you can't do that in our culture. Throw that off and do it anyway. And Paul said to Timothy, remind the ladies that there are some limitations. Okay, that's fine. Men have limitations. Women have, we all have, there's some things that we can't do. Is that fair? So remind them there's some things they can't do, but remind them there's one thing that they can do that is unique to them, that is out of this world amazing, and that's being a mommy. Embrace that, ladies. Have you noticed that we live in a generation that ridicules that? We are living in a generation that is completely the opposite of the thinking of what this verse says. Ladies, I'm amazed. You ever notice how that people will say things like this in our generation? You're applying for life insurance. And they'll ask you this question. Do you work or are you a stay-at-home mom? Do you work or are you a stay-at-home? Are you kidding me? Why, a lady who's a mom, think about everything she does. She's a chef. She does the laundry. She's incredible. Often she's a seamstress. And she's a child psychologist. Sometimes she's a nurse. Sometimes she's a doctor. Sometimes she's a psychiatrist. The list goes on forever. You live in a world today, ladies, that ridicules the idea of being a mother as, oh my word. Oh my word. A mother. Here's what your Bible says. Embrace it. It's a wonderful thing to be a mommy.
When you embrace motherhood, the sink can become an altar of prayer. Your broom handle could become the rod of Moses. Is that right? You have an awesome, every mommy in this room has an awesome opportunity to embrace motherhood and impact the world. You want to know something? I love preaching. I love revivals. I love evangelism. I love what I do. I love to travel overseas, go to Haiti, go to the Philippines, help in our college in the Philippines. I love to go teach. I love to preach revivals. I love to preach evangelistic meetings. I love preaching. But there's something I love far more than all of that. That's being a daddy. And I love the fact that Bethany and I, in spite of the fact that we get to preach and serve the Lord in public ways, the greatest work that Bethany, Joey, and I do is we work on our marriage relation and we raise those five children God gave to us. Mama, you're that important. The children of Israel were begging God, oh God, our nation's in a mess. Help, Lord, help. Oh God, please help. God said, okay, I will. And he gave Hannah a baby. In the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the children of Israel are a mess. And there's no, they're in bondage and they've lost their nation and they're under Roman government. And there's devout Jews like Zechariah and Elizabeth crying to God, oh God, help our land that is fallen. The truth is fallen and we're in a mess. And God says, okay, I will intervene. He gave Elizabeth a baby. He gave Mary. I would love it if God would just be like, okay, answer prayer. Boom! Revival is in the land. A lot of us are doing this. A lot of us in America are doing this. Oh, God, help America. Help our churches. Revive your people. Change our land. Oh, God. I don't have any prayer meetings. I've been in the last 5 years and I've heard people cry and beg and weep and pray and cry and fast and beg and weep and pray. And I got to thinking based on this verse, God may have already answered our prayer. One of you ladies may be raising a son. And nobody's applauding and nobody's giving a standing ovation, but you're changing a diaper. And you're kissing a boo-boo. And you're saying a prayer at night. And you're washing laundry. And in the very divine act of our Almighty God, He is answering our prayer for revival because you are raising the next young man that God is going to pour out His power upon. And we're going to see thousands saved and hundreds saved and maybe hundreds of thousands saved because a mom has embraced her calling. Ladies, believe that. Don't think of your calling. Don't go home and say, all right, I'm going back to the grind. You are going back to do the most important thing you may ever do in your life, and that's to raise your children for Jesus Christ. You may never pastor a church and fill an auditorium like this. You may have two children that you raised for God, and your grandchildren will someday be mightily used of your Father because you did the work of motherhood. You are that important. Embrace it. Don't let these verses scare you. Oh, my word, women can't do it. I know it looks that way. But this is written to say God has a plan for you that involves motherhood. Ladies, you go home with a renewed vision in your heart. I am a woman of God, and I am raising a man of God, and I am raising a daughter of God, and I'm going to raise them for Jesus Christ. And I may never be known, and I may never speak at a ladies' prayer advance, but I'm going to raise my children for Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, Mama, there will come a day, according to your Bible, that your children will rise up and call you blessed. And they'll do that in the judgment. They'll sit in the presence of your loving Jesus with wounds in His hands and wounds in His feet and a scar in His side. And they will call you blessed in that judgment because you impacted their life for Jesus Christ. Embrace motherhood. And one more. Embrace mentoring. Embrace mentoring. Because here's what Titus says. The aged women. Don't you like that word? Aged women. I got bad news for you. If I understand this text, aged has the idea of any lady who's done raising her children. So So, literally, if you're an older woman, my wife, according to Mrs. Vaughn, said in her session that every one of you ladies are older than somebody. That's a good way to take it. The ancient women likewise, as they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? That they may teach the young women, younger women, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Inspiration number 5, ladies, embrace mentoring. You may feel like you don't have much of a ministry, but are you a child of God? Embrace mentoring. Some of you older ladies here, God bless you. You're done raising kids, and you feel like there's not much you can do anymore. But you know what you could do? You could be a blessing to a young mommy in your church by having coffee with her once or twice a week, and maybe just listening. And mentoring, sometimes we think in these terms, and we think, oh my word, I can't do that, because I don't know how I would mentor somebody and teach them. Well, mentoring starts, first of all, with just listening to somebody's heart and just having a conversation with them. Sometimes the biggest mentoring that I get done is sitting somewhere with somebody younger than me and listening to their heart and maybe throwing in one or two sentences here and there. And say, well, you know, have you thought about it? I guess, Brother Harold, this morning I was mentoring back here in the room when you asked me the one question and I answered it for our brother. Just ask mentoring. I mean, laughing didn't flash and nobody's going to write down what I said and be like, oh my word, that was amazing. Because I'm just talking off the top of my head. Just, you know, just reminding us of some Bible truth. Bethley's dad, he's in heaven. He just died a few months ago, one of my best friends. He's gone now. I miss him. He used to call me all the time. He'd call me every week and say, son, tell me about the revival. And sometimes I'd be down a little bit and I'd say, Dad, I don't know why. We only had one kid saved in our kids' revival. My dad would go, oh, that is wonderful. A little boy got saved. Man, it's wonderful. God loves the children. Aren't you glad a little boy got saved? Live his whole life for Jesus. Oh, my word, son. I've been praying somebody get saved. That is wonderful. I love that man. He'd always, after he talked to me, he'd always say, now I give you permission, son, to soundly kiss my daughter. Say that to me all the time. He's got his daddy. I miss him. I miss him. But you know what I love about him? Every time I go to bed, he's a pastor in the same church for 47 years. He was a real man of God. Bethley's dad, I'd ask him a question. And he'd do this. When he was thinking, he'd move his lips around. So I'd say, Dad, what do you think about it? He'd go, and I'd watch that. I learned to wait, Brother Harold, on Dad. And here's what he would always say. He'd say, son, you know the Bible says, now we're on holy ground. This little conversation just turned in a different direction. Now I'm in the presence of God through His Word. Ladies, you can do that. You're going to have a young mommy in your church. She's frustrated. You have to preach at her. Woman, straighten up. You don't have to be negative. I mean, sometimes you need to have the wisdom to go, the Bible says, straighten up. Sometimes I say, you know what, it's okay. Brother Young was at the ladies' prayer advance and he said to embrace motherhood because that may be the greatest thing you'll ever do in life. So I know it's hard right now doing the laundry, but you're raising a soul. You're raising a soul. Mentoring is encouraging. Mentoring is teaching. We live in a generation today to where it's just, I never thought, I used to read these verses. What do you mean you have to teach somebody to love their husbands and love their children? You mean you actually have to teach that? That's the weirdest thing in the world. But we live in a generation that desperately needs somebody to come along and say, hey, don't forget to love your husband. Make your marriage wonderful. Love on them. Don't forget to love your children. Hug them. Slow down, mommy. You're so busy in this generation.
I know some of them are running after careers, and we're running after, and we're paying for, you know, we got to have a bigger house. We got a house payment, so both of us got to work. And maybe you and your husband ought to stop and downsize. Get you a tinier house. Drive you an older car. I don't know if I can drive an older car. Go to Walmart. They sell this spray called New Car Smell. Spray that baby down. Spray her down. See, help ladies with that. There's ladies in your church. You're going back home to ladies that were not at the prayer advance, and they're discouraged, and they're down, and they're frustrated, and they're irritated, and they're on edge, and they're bothered, and their marriage is a mess. And some of you don't know it because you're in church, and we all go to church. Everybody's dressed nicely, and they're carrying their big old Bible, and they're singing Amazing Grace, Praise Jesus, and they're all happy, and like, God bless you, sister. Are you well? Oh, yes, thank you. I'm fine. And back home, they're a mess. You know what they need? You. You know what they need? You. They need you to have somebody in your home for coffee and dessert and sit down with them and say, hey, how can I be a blessing to you? Maybe one of you older ladies, there's a young couple in your church and their marriage is on edge because they've not had time alone in weeks. And maybe you can watch their children 1 hour a week so they can go out for coffee and fall in love again. You're mentoring children now. Spend some time with their kids. Take them to the park. We left our kids with our pastor friend, Dave and Anna Tice, in Las Vegas while we went on a trip. And our kids always remember, she took them to the park one day. And they were having a picnic at the park. And there was these ducks in the park that kept coming up wanting the food. And my kids love it because Miss Anna got upset at the duck. And my kids are like, she was trying to grab that duck. And she goes, let me tell you, you can't have it. And man, what a memory my kids have. Know everything or have a Bible college degree. Embrace mentoring as a lady. Go home from this conference and embrace submission. Go home and say to your husband, honey, you're the man I married, and I just want you to know I'm going to follow you. Embrace it. I'm going to follow you. So I'm looking to you, honey. Oh, tell me about our, what are we going to spend money on? Tell me what we're going to spend money on. Tell me how much. Tell me. I'm leaning your way. What kind of cookies you like? See, embrace submission. Embrace it. Embrace real value. Don't allow yourself to go home and spend the rest of this year pondering on it. Those kids of mine, I brought you in this world. I will take you out. Don't go home and embrace real value, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And go home. Embrace modesty. In a generation that no longer cares about anything, let's care as God's people because the Bible says we should. Let's care. I don't be all legalistic about it. Well, I am spiritual because my spirit goes to my ankle. You don't have to be a legalist about it. But we ought to be modest because the Bible says we should. Is that fair? I want to please God. If God says it, I'm going to do it. So embrace it. Think this is great. God will bless me. Embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace motherhood. Go home and embrace ministry. Go home this week. Have coffee with somebody in your church. I don't drink coffee. All right. Have, what do they call that stuff? Kombucha. Or whatever it is. I don't think I'd like that because it's like wine, and we don't drink wine. I mean, what is that stuff? That's it, right? Whatever it is. See, we're really healthy people. Okay, well, then get together and eat celery. But mentor, care, mentor. Invest in some lady this year. Invest. Live outside yourself. In your church. Go home and encourage a middle-aged lady in your church. Go home and encourage a teenage girl in your church. Invest in them. You'll be glad you did. You'll live outside yourself and you'll have the blessings of God in your life. And you know, when you're investing in somebody else, whether it's your husband or your children or somebody at the church, what you're going to find out? You're going to find out great joy comes to you from that. Great joy comes. You build a friendship. You build a relationship. You get to see God using you in somebody else's life. Ladies, if that's not inspirational for ladies, you tell me what is. You have a God that's on your side. You have a God that cares about you and knows you and wants to use you. So go home and embrace these five areas. Five areas. Embrace them. Just embrace them. Just embrace them. How are we going to close this conference? This Lady Spirit is. Like this is how I think we ought to close it. How many of you would say, Dave, I can see one of these areas where I know that I need to embrace. I see one of these areas, I need to embrace it. I know it. Let me just see your hand. That'd be true of most of us, wouldn't it? I need to embrace it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with a sister before you go home this morning. And here's what I want you to say to that sister. I want you to say to us, choose a sister and say to that sister, at least choose at least one of those areas and say to one of your sisters, say to them, say, will you pray with me that God will help me to embrace and name it? God, pray that God will help me to embrace mother. I get so discouraged as a mom. Pray God will help me to embrace modesty, because that's a hard one for me, because I just don't like anybody telling me what to do. Pray God will help me to embrace it. Just be as honest as you want to be with each other. Embrace. Embrace. And let a sister pray with you now. Encourage one another this morning. Bear one another's burdens. We haven't given a lot of public invitation like this, but my name is Dave. My best friend Bethley's here at the front. Brother Harold's here, his wife. Brother Wegger and his wife. If there's a lady in our building and you're wrestling with whether or not you're on your way to heaven, we're going to go home in just a moment. But don't go home unless that's settled in your heart. Come see my wife, Bethley. Just come say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. See Mrs. Bonner. See Mrs. Wegger. If you want to talk to me and Brother Harold, we're available. We're Brother Joel. Because the most important thing in the world is to know that you're a child of the King, a daughter of the King. And if you don't know that, you're among friends. Don't you leave the ladies' prayer dance unless you know.